Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf Vav, and we're holding the fourth line from the top of the Amid, where the Gemara asks a Shaila boy mine me Rava. The Gemara Shaila is not related directly to the sugyas that we've been learning until now. It has nothing to do with the din of Bal Yeroa, Bal Yemotzei, Bedikas Chometz. However, there is a certain relationship to what we learned yesterday, in that we spoke about what happens if you find in your home chametz of a Gentile. Are you over on the din of Bal Yeroa, Bal Yemotzei? And the Gemara said, it depends. What does it depend on? It depends on whether you have any relationship at all to that chametz. What type of relationship? That if, for instance, you have a potential liability vis-a-vis that chametz, what would be that potential liability? That a goy left you a pikadon of chametz, and if it gets stolen, or if it gets lost, you have an obligation to go and replace that chametz. Oh, so even though it doesn't belong to you, you have no rights to it, but you still have rules and regulations that pertain to that chametz, in the sense that you have potential liability and obligations. And therefore, in such a case, said the Gemara, you have to make sure that that chametz is not in your rishus, because of that legal and potential monetary relationship to that chametz. Therefore, get the chametz out of your rishus. So, since we're talking about this type of somewhat hybrid situation of chametz that belongs to the goy, and the Jew has a relationship, a monetary, potential monetary relationship, we're going to now talk about similar types of hybrid assets that belong partially to one and potentially to the other. And it's going to be in a totally different context. It's going to be in the context of the halacha of Bechor. Now, when we think of Bechor, we normally think of the firstborn among human beings. And then, of course, if it's a Bechor and all the other rules and regulations apply, then you have to go to a Kohen for Pinyin Ben. Here we're not talking about a Bechor of a human being, we're talking about a Bechor lahavdil of an animal. What happens if a person is an animal breeder, and Baruch Hashem, you were zochet to have a Bechor? What do you do with that Bechor? You have to go and give it to the Kohen. And this man of the Mesa Migdosh, what did the Kohen do with that Bechor? He brought it for a carbon. Like we say in the morning in the Ezeu Mekoy Mishal Svachim, Bechor, Vamas, Vapesach, all of those are Kochim Kalim, and the Bechor went to the Kohen. What happens if the Bechor unfortunately had a mum? Then you cannot bring it for a carbon, but instead you can go and shecht it outside the Beis HaMikdash, and it has certain dinim of Kedusha nevertheless. Now, nowadays, unfortunately, that we have not had the Beis Migdash now for close to 2,000 years, we are not able to go and bring a Bechor Behema as a carbon. So what would a Kohen do if he received a Bechor? He would have to wait until it gets a mum. Waiting for an animal to get a mum is very, very troubling. Why? Because this would be what we would call a wasting asset. What do you mean a wasting asset? Because the Torah says, "Loi savoid b'v'chor sheirecha, v'loi sogoiz b'chor tzeinecha." If you have a b'chor of a behema, you have absolutely no income from it. You cannot go and sell the wool if this animal happens to be a ram or a lamb. You cannot have the animal work in your garden or in your field if it happens to be a shor. So you have no benefit whatsoever. But you have to go and feed it, and then you have to wait and wait and wait and wait until the animal gets a mum, and that might take 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. In fact, it may never happen. So the animal will not be able to be geschachten, and it's just a major liability. What do we do nowadays? The din of Bechor Behema applies nowadays too. Of course, there aren't many religious Jews that I know of that are in the business of breeding animals. But if you did have such an individual, what would he do with the Bechor? He can't ship it off to a Kohen. First of all, we're not even sure who the Kohanim are. Okay, so let's assume we have a person who has a good chazaka that he is a Kohen. Go and send him the animal. He's going to say, what am I going to do with it? Unfortunately, there's no Beis HaMikdash yet. I cannot bring it for a carbon. I'm just going to hold on to this for 20, 30 years. I'm going to have to support this animal. I'm going to have to pay tuition payments. I'm going to have to go and give food and shelter to this animal for the next 20 years. So the Eitzah is...
Shibbos.
I'm Sorry?
Shechter for the goy.
Ah, very good. So Brother Shai tells us that the Eitz is because the Pasuk says, Kili kol b'chor b'Yisrael, and the Gemara darshins, it has to be that the b'chor belongs totally to a Jew. But if there is what the Gemara calls Yad Akum Be'emtza, Yad Akum Be'emtza means if there is any partnership involving a non-Jew, then you're potter min ha-b'chayra. And that's the Eitz that they have nowadays, that if a person is in the business of breeding animals, and he has this concern of a bechor being born to his flock, he goes and takes a goy and asks him, I want you to be a partial partner. That partnership doesn't have to be more than a quarter of 1%, or a tenth of 1%, a very, very minuscule partnership. But since that's what's called Yad Akum Be'emtza, he owns part of the animals, and therefore when this animal is born, it's not just my bechor, it's the bechor also of Johnny Willie the Third, who happens to be a Gentile. Then you are potter from having to go and give this to the kohen. Good, so that's now in practical terms, but let's get to the Gemara's Shaila. The Gemara tells us that there was something known as Arnuna. Arnuna means a tax, and even Eretz Yisrael today... Even Eretz Yisrael today, they use the expression Arnuna to refer to various types of taxes or customs or fees or what have you.
Property taxes.
Property taxes. Here, our Gemara told us the Arnuna was a tax on, it was an income tax, but the income tax was on not a monetary tax, but rather on in kind, which means if you had brand new animals born to your flock, then you had to give 10% of those animals to the king. And if you had new crops, for instance, of grain, you have to give 10% of that grain to the king. If you look at Rashi, Arnuna is about 10, 12 lines into the Rashi, Arnuna HaMelech, the king, note that he takes Isur, a tenth, min ha-behema, u-min ha-tvuah, from the animals, and from the tvuah, and from the grain. Yeah, very straightforward. So, Frank Gemara Boimene, we're on the fourth line of the Gemara Boimene Meirav. Behemas Arnuna, Chayevs Bebechoyra, in Chayevs Bebechoyra. The behema that, since all the behemas that you have grown, not really grown, behemas that have been born to you raised. This year have been, sorry?
Raised, whatever.
Raised, grieved, bread. Oh! Oh, bread. Bread. The bread and butter of this is so good. I don't know about animals and butter is not so good. But anyway, Be'imas Arnuna that's been bred to... and then after that... Okay, fine. Since automatically I have a shutuf in my behemoth, who is my shutuf? The king! He has 10% rights to, if I get 100 animals this year, he's going to take 10 away. So if that's the case, he is a partial shutuf. So maybe that will pater mer b'chayra, just like if I go and take a Gentile as my partner, I'm pater, so maybe he's a partner. That's the Gemara Shaila. Chayra, good to Shaila. Says Gemara. If you have the option, instead of giving him kind, in other words, instead of giving him animals itself, themselves, you can go and give money, then avad yir chayv. Why? Because since money is a good substitute for the animals, the normal individual is presumably going to keep the animals, because that's the business that he's in breeding animals. So he's going to try to pay off the king the monetary equivalent to the 10%. He'll figure out that this animal is worth, I don't know, 10% of the animals that were born in his flock are worth $100. So he'll write out a check for $100 and give it to the king and keep the animals for himself. If that's the case, then the king really doesn't have a real interest in the animals. He's only really interested in the money, because he'll take a check. That being the case, let me come by Lindachai, the Navad Yerchai Bebechor, because these animals are deemed and considered to be solely the exclusive property of the Jew. Ki Kamaboylan, so where's the Shaila? Hechdulay Matzi Masalik Lebezuze. That I cannot pay off money, but I have to go and give him actual animals. Freit Imora Mai, the Shaila that he asked to Rava was, what's the halacha? Amalahusi told him, Ptura. Since the king has a right to take the animals themselves, he is a partial partner. You're partner min ha-bechayra. Freit Imora Batani, but I have a problem. I have a braisa that says, Beferish Chayeves. Rava, what do you do with that braisa? Says Rava very simply, Hosam de Matzi Masalikle. That braisa is talking about a situation where, in fact, you can give the king money. So then the king is not interested in the animals, he's interested in the money. Oh, so he has no real interest in the animals. No interest in the Yechayiv, you have to go and give Bechor to the kohen. Very simple answer. Ikriyami, there was another version. Not that they asked Rava, and then Rava Paskin, but rather Rava said immediately, Omer Rava, Behemoth Anuna, Ptoyim and Bechorah. Oh, just like the answer in the first, right? The first Ikri Amri was, the first version was, they asked him a question and he answered, Omelu Ptura. Here, Rava made a statement, Behemoth Anuna, Ptoyim and Bechorah. And now Rava adds, the Afal Gav, the Motzi Mesalikle. Even, excuse me, even if you can give the king money, you're still potem and mechayer. What's the svara over here? After all, if you give the king money, all of it belongs to you. The point is that the king initially has a lien, an encumbrance on your animals. You can go and remove the lien by paying him money. But until you pay him that money, he owns, or at least he has the right to grab 10% of the animals. So he is a shutev. He was a shutev, then he's potem and mechayer. And that was the Psak of Rav. So in that respect, this Ikri Amri is different than the first version. Because the first version, Rav said that if it's Motzi Mesalikle, then he's Chai B'Bechoyra. And according to the second version, even in Motzi Mesalikle B'Mois, he's still Potana B'Bechoyra. But now the Braisa continues, not the Braisa. Yeah, this is a Braisa, yeah. Braisa continues on. Isas Arnuna, this is Rava talking, sorry. Rava continues on. Until now we spoke about Behemoth Arnuna. Let's talk now about Isas Arnuna. Isas Arnuna means that a baker now is baking dough, and he's baking with that dough, he's going to make challis and cake and bread and this and that and the other thing. So now the question is, normally when you go and bake bread and you bake challah, you bake matzah, again you have to go and give challah to the kohen. But there too there's a posik. The posik over here, it says, Reishis arisoseichem, chala terimu seruma. And we learn from that posik, it's got to be arisoseichem, an isa that belongs exclusively to a Jew. If the isa belongs partially to a guy, then you're off the hook. You don't have to go and give chala. So now the same question arises. Isas arnuna, is it chai b'chala, or is it batim in a chala? After all, the king has a chelik. Says our Gemara, says Rava, even though by the behema of Arnuna I said it's potana b'chayra, Isis Arnuna is chayiv b'chala. The afel gavdli motzi mesalikle. Even though you cannot go and throw the king out, you can't go and, in other words, you cannot give him money, and so therefore he does get a portion of the chala itself, of the Isa itself. Nevertheless, you're chayiv b'chala. Pray to my timer. L'chayra, this doesn't make sense. Behema and Isa l'chayra, the same din. The king gets his 10%. So, in both cases, you're mesalik, nish mesalik. But how can you go and say here, by the Behema Sanuna, you're potter, and the Isa Sanuna, you're chayiv? That doesn't make sense. And in fact, it's really mikotze l'kotze. Mikotze l'kotze means from one extreme to the other. Because Behema Arnuna was saying potter, even though you can go and give him money and remove the lien, nevertheless, you're still potter and b'chayra. Isas Arnuna, you cannot pay him off with money. You have to go and give him from the Isa itself. And nevertheless, you're still chai b'chala. What's the reason? What's the justification? My time. Evdimar behema is l'kala, Isa less l'kala. But behema is l'kala. What means is l'kala? So Rashi explains that if someone were to see that Yankel, the famous cattle breeder, that he is taking a bechor that was born to his flock, and he does not give it to the kohen. So you're going to say, Yankel, this is such a wonderful freilich, erlich yid, he's always careful, medaktik, chut, tasar, in every single mitzvah. How is it that he's keeping the bechor? Kol islay. There's a kol. Everybody knows that the king has this 10% lien, and nobody's going to ask, how come he kept the bechor for himself and didn't give it for the kohen? I know, because the king has this 10% tax on all animals. But Isa, less the challah. When it comes to Isa, if I'm not going to go and give the challah, people say, how could that be? We always thought Yanko was a frum fellow. I guess he's not so religious after all. He doesn't give challah to the kohen. What's going on? There is no kol. But an animal, there is a kol. And by the Isa, there's no kol. So therefore, we don't want to. This then, by the Isa, that you have to go and give the challah, is midrabanan, because people are going to say, and people are going to think, and they won't realize what's going on over here. Therefore, you have to go and give it to the Oh man, you have to go and give challah to the kohen.
So originally,
1 second. Now the question is, why in fact is there by behema a kol and by the isa is no kol? After all, if anybody knows anything about taxes, he knows that there's a tax both on animals and there's a tax on isa, and therefore, just like by the animals, the reason why I'm keeping the bechor is because of the fact that the king has a chalik, and that's why I'm potter in giving the animal. So then the same thing should apply to the Issa. Why is there more of a kol by behemis than there is by Issa? Rashi doesn't explain. But the Rishash explains a very beautiful pshat. The Rishash says, because if you go back to the Rashi that we had at the beginning of the sugya, Arnuna, we said that the king takes 10% from the animals and from the tvua. So you should have given already 10% from your tvua, from the grain. But you didn't do that. What did you do? You took all the grain and you ground it and you winnowed it and you crushed it and you did whatever you had to go make the flour. And now you did the isa. So a person says to himself, how come you're not giving challah? Oh, don't you know the king has a right to 10% from the isa? No, that's not true. The king has a right to 10% from the grain. Presumably he already took his 10% from the grain, because that's the chiv. So what are you doing now? You're making isa, so that's from your remaining 90% that belongs to you. Then avadi, you have to go and give the... Why isn't he giving the challah? So did it ever dawn on me that the guy didn't go and give the 10% of the tvua, and he's waiting until he makes the cakes and the breads that he's going to give the king a cake? The king is not asking for cake and bread and for challah. The king is asking for the tvua. He wants to go and get the grain and bake his own whatever he's going to go and bake. And now you're going and giving him bread. So that's why isa les lo kol, there's no assumption that this isa is the 10% lien. We assume that that has already been taken care of in the earlier stages when it was still in the form of grain. Then he's a good pshat.
Beautiful.
That's why Rashi said in atvua, and here the Gemara is talking about isa and azizok to Rishash. On to the next Gemara. Yes, you wanted to ask something, Daniel.
Yes. So in the olden days when we had the Beis Midrash, the person may have fresh and gave it to the coin, the isa?
He would have to get 100%.
And today we burn it.
Today we burn it because we don't know exactly who the coin is, right. And it has to be the tahara, etc., etc. But you're right. In the good old days, you had to give challah. It's a passing in the Torah. Reishis Rishisechem, challah terim seruma. That's one of the chof dal and matlis kahuna, one of the things that we have to give to the coin. Baruchim til. Tana Rabban. State in the Braisa. Okay, so now let's get back to Hilchas Chametz. I know we all feel bad that we missed out on Hilchas Chametz, so we're coming back now to our favorite sugyas. So Nachri Shenichlas Chatzeri Shel Yisrael B'Tzeka B'Yodei. It's now Chol HaMoed, or it's on Yom Tov, and a goy comes to my chotzer, and he wants to speak with me, he wants to have a meeting with Sven, U'B'Tzeka B'Yodei, and he's holding on to Botzek to dough in his hands. In other words, he's holding on to Chametz. So now, do I have to scream at him and say, don't you know it's Passover? Get out of here with your Chametz! What are you doing here? No, it says the price is a klibar. No, it's not my chametz. Remember, we said in the pasuk yesterday, "La yiro lecho chametz shelcho I ataroya ava ataroya shalachedim v'shel gavoya." If a goy comes with chametz in his hands into my property, I should still treat him with the same respect and reverence that you treat every individual, even if he has the chametz, doesn't have the chametz. Of course, make sure not to eat from that chametz. If he offers you and says, you want a bite from this cookie, it's delicious. Wow, it has cream fudge on top, and it's in milchiks, and it's fleishiks, and it's parv, and it's great, and it's schmaltz. Ah. No, but you're not going to eat it. But you have no din by your rabbi once, because it's not yours, it belongs to the guy.
I've heard that Olympia in York, they used to make everybody even buy your chametz.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Aaron Pesach, they tell everybody, goy, Jew,
mm-hmm.
get rid of your chametz.
Okay.
Then you got to clean your desk.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Presumably it wasn't because of the Baal Yirok. Concern it was the concern of the, that somebody might come to eat it by mistake. Anyway, continuing on, Hifkidoi Etzloi, what happens if there was a pikodin? In other words, the Nochri left a pikodin with a Jew, then Zok Klavaya. Then you have to make sure that that chometz doesn't remain in your rishus over Pesach. And Rashi points out, like we learned in the Gemara yesterday, that the only time you have to be concerned by a pikodin of a goy, if again you have some monetary relationship to it, and that is that you were mekabel achrayis. Achrayis means that you took upon yourself an obligation that just in case this chometz gets stolen, this pikodin gets stolen, I will make it up to you. I'm going to go and pay you back. Oh, so then I have that potential obligation. Therefore, I have rules and regulations and relationships to this chametz. And then, zok klavai, get it out. Now, yichalei bayis. What happens if he goes and tells the goy? The goy says, "I want to leave a bekodin of chametz." He says, "You know what? Leave it there in that room, there in the corner. Put it in the room, or if he has an extra house, an extra apartment, put in that apartment, put in that house. It's all yours. Leave the chametz over there. Then the zakel kavar. Then you don't have to mavayir." Rashi says that the reason is because this is talking about a case that he did not accept upon himself any achrayas. He basically said, "Fellow, laissez-faire, do whatever you want. Go into that house, put whatever chametz, don't tell me about it, I'm not interested. You put in your noodles, put in your lakshin, put in your cake, your cookies. I'm not interested, just leave it there in that house. Therefore, since I have no achrayas, then there's no problem." Again, that was a distinction we made yesterday in the Gemara between yes achrayas and no achrayas, whether you have to be mevayer the chametz. How do I know? Shenemar lo yimatzei. Because it said in the Torah, lo yimatzei. Now this seems to be what we would call a non sequitur. What means a non sequitur? It means it doesn't follow. We just finished saying that yichid lo yibayis, if he gave him a house and said, put your chametz there, then ein zakel levayir, the Jew is off the hook. Shenemar, so you would expect that there'll be a pasuk that gives you some sort of heter. But instead the pasuk gives you an isur. Shenemar lo yimatzei. Here you're saying, yeah, no problem, you can leave the chametz there, it's fine, I don't have to worry about it, no bayiro bayimatze. How do I know? Because the Torah says, lo yimatze. So then, that should mean that you should be mevayret. Not that you should not be mevayret, that doesn't seem to fit in. So what's the pshat? Somebody please put yourself on mute, because we hear some noise. Amra papa, ad reisha koi. This is going on the reisha. What means on the reisha? In other words, we have to put in parentheses the words yichid loy bayis ein zakek levayir. Go back to the earlier part of the brisa. In the brisa it says hifkidoy etzloy zakek levayir. Now leave out the words yichid loy bayis. Why hifkidoy etzloy zakek levayir shenemar loy motzei? And as we learned yesterday in the Gemara, loy motzei comes to add bal yekabel pigdoynos min anachrim. Don't take a pikkudin from a goy if you have achrayis on it. So that's good now. How do I know the isur of the zakek levayir? You have to eliminate this chametz, because it says le'imotzi, and now let her hold on to it. That's her papa's pshat. No, you can leave it on the sefer. The sefer said, yichel le'bayis, ein zakek levayir. Pray tomorrow. So how does that work with lo yimotze? We left out one word. Oh. Says the Gemara Anayazach, since I was miyachel lebayis, and I told him, you can keep that house for the next 8 days and put whatever chametz you want from top to bottom, put in the lakshin, put in the cookies and cakes and whatever. So then the goy for the next 8 days, that is his house. He's using it for his own benefit. It's no longer mine. As the Gemara is going to say, for instance, he rented the house to him. And therefore, if he rented the house to him, it's his house. Just like a landlord nowadays. Landlord owns an apartment building and he has 10, 20, 30 tenants. Does he have to make sure that every tenant before Yom Tov goes and eliminates all the chametz from his apartment? It's his apartment. It's not the landlord's apartment. It's the tenant's chametz. So the landlord has nothing to do with it. So says the Gemara, that's the reason why, if you gave him a house, an apartment, a room, and said, put your chametz over there, then it's nothing to do with me. That's his. Ki kama'ayel lebeis et nafshi kama'ayel. Now he's going into his own house, in his own room, in his own apartment. It's not, no, I'm off the hook. And that's, how do I know that? Sheshenem aliyomati beba teichem. In your house, you have to make sure there's no chametz. But it's no longer my house. I rented it. I gave it to the goy for the next 10 days, 8 days. I'm out of here. Freit Yomara, is that right? That a tenant really owns his property, it's no longer belonging to the landlord. Remember the schiris kanya? Are you telling me schiris? Schiris means to rent or to lease. That's really koina to the tenant. Vatanan, I'll show you from a Mishnah in Masechta Avodah Zarah that that's wrong. What does it say in the Mishnah? Vatanan, afamakim she'amru lahaskir. The Mishnah over there talks about that there are different regions. You have Eretz Yisrael, you have Syria, and you have Chutz La'aretz. In Eretz Yisrael, you're not supposed to go and rent or lease any property to a goy in Eretz Yisrael, because we don't want them to have a foothold in Eretz Yisrael. We want Eretz Yisrael to belong to us. In Syria, however, you are allowed to be maskir, and certainly in Chutz La'aretz, if you live here in America or wherever you live, you're allowed to go and rent houses, apartments, buildings, properties to a goy, no problem. But the Mishnah says, "Abba Mokish Amru Lahaskir Loyla Beistira Amru." You should not go and rent to them a residence. You can rent to them office space, commercial space, or like Rashi says, a mokum lahamid behemois ve'etzim. You can go and rent to them a barn,
a shed,
any type of thing, but not a place to live. Well, what's the problem? Amru, loyla beistira amru, namnesha machnisa letoichoi, ayin gimel. What's it, ayin gimel? Avoidas kilulim, avoidas zara. Since the goy brings along his idols and his crosses and the alezachen, so he's taking it, he's bringing it into your property. You're not allowed to have in your property all types of idols and all types of voidas zaris. And Avraham Avinu was not around to go and bang and hit all of them. So he was oy. So you can't go and rent it out to a goy for a residence. Freitimor, why? I don't understand. You just told me, Legabi Chometz, that once I give him the residence, it's no longer on my property. It's no longer in my rishus. Now it's his. Viso kadaita, the schiris kanyo, just like by the Chometz, ki kama ayil abeisit denafshe kama ayil. He's not going into my house, my apartment. He's going into his apartment, because as long as it belongs to the tenant, he has a lease for a month, for a year, whatever. It's his. So, what's the problem about bringing in a voidah zarah? Everything, Mara. The truth of the matter is that schiris loy kanya. The property still belongs to the landlord. And that's why you have to make sure that goy doesn't bring in idols and avodah zarah. So, Ibazoi, how does it work with the chametz? That you're saying he can have the chametz. Shani hacha, the afkir rahman, beloshin yimotze. Beloshin loy yimotze. The reason why the Torah uses this expression of loy yimotze bivoteichem is to go and tell you, Misha motzi biyodcha. This is nothing to do with the din of schiras kanya loy kanya. Rather, is it something that is under your hands, in other words, under your control, under your auspices, or have you given the authority away, you've transferred it to somebody else? And the answer is, I've transferred the authority to this room, to this apartment, to this house, to somebody else. So it's no longer matzi biyadi. I no longer have full right and of access and use of that property. I gave it away, or I rented it, I leased it. So, since even though it belongs to me, since it's not matzui biyadcha, that's what the lo yimatzui comes to tell you, that there's a difference between the avodah zarah and the chametz. So if somebody wants to go and rent an apartment for you over the 7-8 days of Pesach, you could tell them you can bring it as much chametz as you want, but don't bring in any idols or avodah zarah. Now we're going to have a series of halachas of Rabbi Yudah Marav. What happens? You did the best bedikah and you found all 11 pieces of chametz that had been hidden. They only hid 10, but you found 11. You're machmir. So you really did a good job in bedikah's chametz. And then you burned all the chametz. But unfortunately, you forgot to look under one of the beds in one of the bedrooms. And guess what? You found now that there was a Danish there. From now on, you go and tell your guests or your family members, don't eat in the bedroom. Only eat in the dining room or in the kitchen. But somebody unfortunately went and didn't listen, and they went and put in a Danish, and you found that now under a bed on Yom Tov. What do you do? So normally you would go and say, pick it up, take it out, and throw it out. But you can't, because it's Yom Tov. So it's muktzah. What do you mean muktzah? Every Yom Tov I eat Danish, isn't it? But Pesach, it's muktzah. Why is it Pesach and muktzah? Because you're not allowed to eat it. So therefore, it's like anything that is muktzah that you have no utility for on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, and therefore, I can't pick it up. So what should I do? Koy for all of us a kli. Go and take a kli and turn it upside down. Like we had, if you remember, not too long ago at the end of Masechtas Erev, if you find the sheretz in the Beis HaMikdash, depending where you find it, you are koifa olaf psachter. You put that sear, that large pot, the copper pot. Okay, here it doesn't have to be a copper pot. It could even be a plastic basin, plastic neglavasa basin. You go and koifa, you go and turn it over, put it on top. Now, what's the reason why? After all, it's still in your rishus. So Rashi says, we're going to see a mitzvah on the Omid base, that the requirement is haboidik Tzorech sheyevatel. It's not enough to go into the bdikas chametz and find all the chametz and eradicate the chametz and destroy the chametz and eliminate the chametz. You also have to be mevatel. Mevatel means you have to say kol chamira v'chamira de'ikem rishusi de'chazise u'deloy chazise de'chamite de'loy chamite, etc. etc. Yehei hefker ka'afra di'ara. You have to go and be mevatel it. So therefore, says Rashi, mitzad ikra din, I no longer have an issur. Yes, this Danish is chametz. It's not mine. I was mafkir it. I was mevatel it. Therefore, there is no issur of bal yirah, bal yimatzeh. But there is a problem, and that is some of us, not here in this room or on the Zoom, but there are people, for instance, that live on the North Pole that are tremendous bali taifa. Palitaiva means they have great, great cravings and desires for delicious Danishes, particularly if they are fresh cheese Danishes, or if they happen to
have honey and nuts
and blueberries on top. Oy, that's delicious. Ah, my mouth is watering just thinking about it. So now it's on Yontif, and he sees that, and he has a Yitzhara. That's why Kofos so Akli has to go and do this big cover-up. He has to take the kli, turn it over, put it on top, so he shouldn't see the Danish. So not he cannot go and banish it from his property, but he can banish it from his mind, because you don't see it, hopefully he will...
Out of sight, out of mind.
Out of sight, out of mind. Very good. Toises has a kash. That's the last toises. Toises says, "I ain't kli nittel el dovra nittel." You're now being mevatel kli mechana, even without the kli mechana. How can you go and take something? The dovra has to be dovra nittel. This is mukta. Exactly. So there, Toises says, here it's mutter duma osel mechle. In other words, the din of mevatel kli mechana, or ain't kli nittel dovra nittel. These are all the rabbanans. Since it's the rabbanans, the same rabbanan said, I have a much more overriding concern that the person might come to go and be oy with the issur of eating chametz on Pesach. So therefore, I'm more lenient on that rabbanan, more machmir this rabbanan.
Okay. That means to nullify.
To nullify, exactly. You said the right word. So get back to more. Omer dinam rabba. Moitzi tulum chametz with not tulum. I moitzi chametz with beis v'yontif koyfel as a kli. Just put a kli on. You don't have a problem by your otzer v'yimotzi because you were mevatel it. You nullified it, but you don't want to come to eat it. It's a covered up. Omer rabba. If he finds taka chometz, but the chometz is chometz of hegdish, that they have been makdish to the gizbar, and so you don't even have to put the kli on top. My time, when you hear or think about the word hegdish, that's holy, that's Rabbeinu Shloim's, that's God's, that belongs to Beis Hamikdash, doesn't belong to me. So you don't have to worry, even if it were not Pesach, a person would be bodel, would separate himself. Nifl is from Lashon Havdalah, he would separate himself, and you don't have to cover it up. I don't have to worry that his desires will get the best of him, and he's not going to eat it. Vermeer number Rav. Nochalach. Hamafarish v'yoytze b'sheyara. You have a person now, did I skip?
I skipped.
I'm sorry. Fourth wide line. Fiyomer of Yunamarav. Chemtze shel nachri. When I'm the chometz of a goy, that he left the chometz in your property, and Rashi says he was not mekabel achrayas, so therefore he's allowed to keep that chometz in his property, on his property. Oyisale mechitza sar tvachim. Go and put up that mechitza of 10 tvachim in front of it. Mishem heker. What means mishaker? That chasse shalom, he shouldn't forget and go and eat from it. The previous case of Koifel as a Kli was that he found it on Yontif, or he found it on Shabbos. He couldn't touch it because it was Muktzah, covered up. Here we're talking about even before Yontif. The Goy has left him a Pikadoin. I don't want to go and see that Pikadoin because, unfortunately, if I see it, I might forget and might come to eat it. So put a Mechitza. In fact, if you go to the religious stores before Pesach or during Chol HaMoed, you'll see that they have these long sheets or these long pieces of paper that go from the top shelf to the bottom shelf, covering over all the aisles where there's chametz. Not because Bayiro Bayimatze, because they sold it to the guy, like we all sell our chametz to the guy, and therefore you have to memechitza or tvachim. The hecker is Rashi, shishin shlo yishkach v'yachlenu. In this case, a person shouldn't go and buy the item from the shelf, take it to the clerk. The clerk may not even be Jewish, he doesn't know the difference. You take it home and you eat it. Oh, yeah, what do I do? So you have to put up that machitz. Vim shel hegdishu, same thing again. If the product that we're talking about is a hegdish product, in itzorch, you don't have to put up machitz in my timer. Because people naturally are going to stay away from it even without the machitz.
I understand something. The fear of hegdish is greater than the fear of karis. Is it karas for eating chametz?
It's not the fear. It's been instilled in a person from childhood that something which is tzedakah or which is hegdish, this doesn't belong to me. Don't touch it. Don't get close to it. Chas v'shalom, if you touch it, you get electrocuted. Please. So a person stays away from it. He doesn't have to worry about during Pesach.
But eating the food, which is could bring, is it karas that a person is subject
throughout to? Throughout the year, a person is eats chametz every single day of the year, except the people that are gluten-free, and even the gluten-free people, if they eat oats and they eat spelt, whatever, which may not be technically gluten, but it's still one of the five minim of chametz. I'm sorry?
Spelt is gluten.
Spelt is gluten. Okay, good. But there are a lot of gluten-free people that eat spelt. So, okay, so maybe they don't know how to spell it correctly. But anyway, it doesn't make a difference. The point is that throughout the year we do eat those things, so for that period of 7 days or 8 days of Pesach, a person could easily forget, because the day before and a week before, see, not bodl minay. That's why you're concerned. Put the cover over, put up the mechitza to make sure he's not going to come to be tempted to eat it on Yom Kippur. Now you have a person who's leaving on vacation before Pesach. He's leaving to Florida. He's leaving to California or Teretz Yisrael. So now what's the difference between a mafarish yoytz b'shiyara? A mafarish means a person who's going on a cruise. Rashi says, min hayabosha liyam. He's going to go on a cruise. V'hayoytz b'shiyara, or he's going to go on the surface. He's going to go in a caravan. He's going to go on one of these Jewish tours. And he's going wherever he's going. And the question is, does he have to do bedikas chametz and bir chametz? Now, how long is he going to be away for? So sheitach do'a z'okta b'yirah marav. If he's leaving koydim shloishim yoyim, right? Pesach is going to be beginning of April. This year, I think it's the end of March. But he's leaving in January. Should you do bedikas chametz in January, right? You take the candle and you start looking for chametz. People think you're a little bit nuts in the middle of January. But it's kosher shloishim yoyim. Says Rav Yehuda Marav, ein zakek levar. You don't have to do bedikas chametz. You don't have to be bir chametz because it's so far before Yontif. Where do we get this inyan of Shloishim Yoyim? The Gemara will address that on the bottom of the Yomid, because there's a rule of Shialim V'dorshim B'Hilchas HaPesach, Koyim L'Pesach Shloishim Yoyim. So 30 days is really into the Yontif spirit, if you will. And in that spirit, you are not allowed to go and leave without doing a Bedikas Chametz. But if it's before the 30 days, you're not in that spirit yet, you don't have to do a Bir Chametz. If, however, if you're leaving within 30 days, in other words, 15th day of Nisan is Pesach, so they're ready, starting from Purim, if you're leaving after Purim on a cruise or on a trip or whatever, and you're not going to be back until Pesach time, then you do have to do a Bedikas Chametz, even though it's Purim. People shouldn't start laughing and saying, ha, the guy's a little bit drunk. It's 30 days before Pesach. You have to go and zakel levar.
What about the cabin on the ship that you're saying? You have to also do bir chametz?
You're talking about what happens if the person is staying in a hotel on Yontif, right? He checks into the hotel before Yontif. Does he have to do bedikas chametz? And the answer is, yes, he should do bedikas chametz, because during that whole period, anything and everything in that room l'chayr belongs to him. And if you're going to go and say, this is not my chametz, could be that is his chametz, and even if not, you have the din of Shem Yishkach v'yoychal, that he might forget that he might eat from it, so be boidik to make sure that there's no chametz around. You're welcome. Again, all contemporary shaylas, ask a competent local Orthodox rabbi. Omer Rabbi, hod the yam etzor shloshim yon zok levay. That it says within 30 days you should be mevayr, lo yamorin ele shedai toy lachzor, aval in day telachzor ein zok levay. So now Abaye introduces a very, very important comment. And that is, until now we were distinguishing before 30 days or within 30 days. Really, the major concern is not before and after 30 days. The concern is he going to be home for Yontif, yes or not? Because after all, if you do Bittul, then you don't have any problems. The only problem is that if you're going to be home for Yontif, and if you find a piece of chametz, you might come to go and eat it. So therefore, you have to go and do a bedika and a beer. So that being the case, what difference does it make if I'm 30 days before, 30 days later? The important thing is, am I going to be home for Yontif? I'm not going to be home for Yontif. This is Omer Rabbi. Hod the Am v'Toich Shloshim Yom Zok Klavai. That you have to do a bedikas chametz liyamorin ala shedai to lachzer, because it's his intent to be home for Yontif. So it's true he left Purim, Shushan Purim, he left Rosh Chodesh Nissan, he went for a 1 week cruise to Alaska, but he intends being home before Yontif, so then he'd better go and do a bedikah. Now, if we know for a fact he's going to be home the night before the 14th, then of course he'll do a bedikah bismanai. But he might only return, let's say, on Cholamayit, or he's only going to return on Erev Pesach in the afternoon. So then, when do you have to make that bedikah? He intends being home for Yontif. If he's leaving Purim time, and he's only going to come home Shavuos, then you don't have to do bikas chametz because you're not going to be home anyway. You would have to do a bittul. Bittul means wherever you are, you have to say kol chamir v'chamir, dikah b'rishusi, because it's still in your rishus. But nevertheless, he doesn't have to do the bedika and the biyur chametz. Amalei Rava, v'idati lachzer. If that's the case, that it's all dependent on whether he's going to return or not going to return. Afilu m'Rosh Hashanah nami. What happens if he's leaving before Rosh Hashanah or after Rosh Hashanah? He's going away for 6 months, but he's going to be back. M'yatz Hashem chol amoed Pesach. So then, the covered Rosh Hashanah, instead of, or in addition to go and making sure that you get the head of the fish and you eat some tzimis and all the other things that we do for Rosh Hashanah and blow the shofar, you have to worry about bedikas chametz because I'm only going to arrive in Chol HaMoed. I might come and eat a piece of Danish. Hopefully it will be dried out. I'll keep it in the freezer. But the point is, I might eat some chametz then. So you should have to be mevayer the chametz even if it's 6 months earlier. And therefore, Elam Rava. So Rava says now to Abaye, the distinction that you made about Data Lachsa in Data Lachsa is an excellent distinction, but don't attach it to the case where he's leaving within 30 days before Pesach, but rather in the case where he's leaving prior to 30 days. That we said that if a person is traveling before 30 days, 40 days, 50 days before Yontif, you don't have to do any bedikas chametz, any bir chametz. Lo yamar en elisha ein dat alachzer, because he has no intention of returning until Shavuos. Lag ba'omer. Av dat alachzer, if he intends coming back for Yontif, afilu m'Rosh Hashanah zok klamar, even 6 months earlier, you have to go and do a bedikas chametz, because he might come in right before Yontif, or in the middle of Yontif, and Chol HaMoed. So therefore you have to do your bedika and your bir. The other Rava the time, Rava goes with Shitosi. The Yomer Rava, Oisa Beisei Oitzer Koidim Shloishim Yoim Ein Zaka Klavar. Toch Shloishim Yoim Zaka Klavar. What means Oisa Beisei Oitzer? Says Rashi, a person has chametz at home, like most people have, you know, their daily food, and he decided to go and convert his home temporarily into an oitzer, into a storage shed. So what does he do? He tells his employees, I heard that there's not enough room in the warehouses to go and put in all of the tvua and all of the crops and all of the pages. You know what? Go and dump it all in my house. And they take him literally and they dump in their house. And he has now, up to the ceiling, he is now engulfed with all types of bananas and tvua and peiros, fruits and vegetables and all types of wonderful things, to the point that whatever chametz that he has is totally covered up, and he cannot easily access it. So much so, Rashi calls this, it's like a chomet shenofel olav mapoilis. Mapoilis means a building collapse. Everything has collapsed on his chametz, because to go and get to the chametz, he'd have to go and get 10 workers to go and pull out all of the oitzer, all of the storage that he has now made. Yeah, to make place. If he did it before 30 days, you don't have to worry, he's not going to get to that chametz. But if it's within the 30 days, then he does have to go and do a bedikas chametz, and he'll have to unearth and get that chametz from underneath. But now, continues Rav, even if it's before 30 days, when he made that oitzer, and I said that ein zaka klavar el shein dat lefanoisoi, that's because he has no immediate intentions of taking out and clearing away this oitzer. He's prepared to leave it there beyond Yontif, until Lag BaOmer, until Shavuos. Avdat lefanoisoi, if his intention is to go and be mafana, that means to remove and clear out this oitzer, Yontif time, afilu kodim shloishim yoim, even if he put that storage in before 30 days. He put it in before Purim. He put it in Hanukkah time. Now he's Zakel Kabari. Then you have to go and find the chametz and remove it because he's going to be mefanit Yontif time. Oh, we're going to find chametz. Okay, so the two halachas of Rav are very consistent. Before 30 days, during 30 days, where did this 30-day rule come from? Maybe it should be a week, maybe it should be a year. Busep's 30 days. So do you want to get a sanya like we learned in the Braisa? 30 days before Pesach, the Chachamim, the people would ask questions, and the Chachamim would darshan Hilchas Pesach being so complex, so detailed, so complicated, for 30 days already we're darshaning about these halachas. So therefore, that's why the 30-day period is considered to be, we're ready Pesach-tik. We're ready in the mood of Pesach. So within 30 days, you have to do a Bedikas Chametz. Before 30 days, you don't have to. Freitimar, where do these 30 days come from? And where does Reb Shimon Gamliel say, Shtei Shabbos is 2 weeks? My time. My time, Tanakama. Mor Sharei. Moisha Oimed B'Pesach Rishoin U'Mazir Ala Pesach Shaini. What's going on? As we know in Parshas Boy, when Moshe Rabbeinu is going and telling us all the Hilchos Pesach, you have over there, and this here, this pasuk is not in Parshas Boy, I'm sorry, it's in Parshas Bahaloscha. What does it say? That Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, V'yasu b'nei Yisrael is a pasuk from Yadei. Make sure to go and do the Karban Pesach and Firzach all Hilchos Pesach from Yadei at the right time in Pesach Rishon, what we call Pesach. Uksiv, however, it says in the next pasuk, Vayi anoshim, or two psukim later. Vayi anoshim, asher hoyu tamim lenefesh odom, v'lo yochlu lasa yisa pesach b'yoimahu. There were people that unfortunately were tamei. They won't be able to bring the carbon Pesach. They asked Moshe Rabbeinu, what should we do? And Moshe Rabbeinu said,
Aaron of Yosef.
I'm sorry, why, how did they become tamei? No, that's a machloikis thing about how they became tamei. Whichever way they became tamei, bottom line is they're tamei, what should we do? So Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'll tell you what to do. Come back in a month from now, in a Miat Hashem, on Pesach Sheni, meaning in Yud Dalet Iyar, you'll bring the carbon then. Now why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to go and tell them now about Pesach Sheni? He should just simply say, gentlemen, we are very, very busy now with Pesach Rishon. I get 1,000 calls a minute. I really don't have time. There are unfortunately not too many other Paskim around in Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm getting all the phone calls, and it's really, really hard on me. I'll tell you about Pesach Sheni Mitzvah after Yom Tov, we'll discuss it. But all I'm telling you now is your potter, you don't have to bring the Karban Pesach. But that's not what he did. Instead, he told them all the halachas that you come back for Pesach Sheni and you dal an Iyar. Why did he do that? Oh, because you have a 30-day window when it's Pesach. Yeah. So that's the raya of the 30 days, because Moshe is talking on Pesach Sheni, on Pesach Rishon, and he's being mazir, and he's giving them the halachas about Pesach Sheni. Reb Shimon Gamliel Amar, on Malach, I did it. Says Reb Shimon Gamliel, that's not a raya. Since the parsha in Parshas Baloyscha is talking about Hilchas Pesach, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu pushed together all of the Hilchas Pesach in one parsha, instead of having Hilchas Pesach Rishon here, and then talk about something else, and then afterwards of Pesach Sheni, HaKadosh Baruch Hu collected it together in one parsha. So if you don't really have any rayas that there's this 30-day rule, Moshe Rabbeinu, for convenience, or for to keep the halachas together, he talked about Pesach Rishon, Pesach Sheni, but no raya. Frankly, when my time with Reb Shimon Gamliel, he said 2 weeks. He said, oh, Shari Moshe, Ime Berusha Chodesh, Umazer ala Pesach. Moshe Rabbeinu started teaching Klal Yisrael about Hilchas Pesach and telling them, be careful, be concerned, be meticulous, be scrupulous. When did he tell him that? On Rosh Chodesh. How do I know? Shenem, it's in the pasuk. Ha Chodesh Azel Lochem Rosh Chodoshim. Meaning, Chodesh Nisan. Uksiv, and then it says after that, Dabu Kaladas Yisrael, Lema Akadas Yisrael, Lema, Be Osa Lechodesh Azel, Beichalahem Ish Selabes, Obeis Selaboyes. So these psukim are in Parshas Boy, as we said before. That Moshe Rabbeinu said, it's now Chodesh Nisan. And don't forget, in 10 days from now, go and get your seh and have it ready for 4 days before Yom Tov. They should be able to be boidik it every day to make sure it doesn't have a mum. And then you'll be able to go and be makriv it on Yud Dalet Nisan on Erev Pesach. So we see Moshe Rabbeinu is talking on Rish Chodesh, and he's telling them what to do in 2 weeks, 14 days. Pray to him, 1 second. Mimaydim Rish Yarchikoi. Who said that this is talking on Rish Chodesh? Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu is talking on the 4th or the 5th day of the month, or for that matter, the 6th or the 7th day of the month. Meaning that although it says, and as soon as I hear the word Rosh Chodeshim, I say, Rosh Chodesh, no, that's a misnomer. Because here we're talking about which month is the first month of the year. Nisan is the first month of the year. That's Rosh Chodeshim. But which day of the month is Moshe Rabbeinu speaking? I don't know. He could be speaking on Rosh Chodesh, but it might be in the second day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day. It's got to be before the 10th day, because he's telling everybody to remember on the 10th day, get your seh. Okay, it may have been a day 8, day 9. How do I know it's talking about Rosh Chodesh? Says Yimara Elo Merabba Barshimi Mishmei Deravina. I'll bring your eye mihocha from another pasuk. It's a Vayda Vayeshel Moishe B'midbar Sinai B'shana Sheinis B'chodesh HaRishon. Now where is this pasuk? This pasuk again is in Baal Lo Yischa. Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Moishe B'midbar Sinai B'shana Sheinis the second year B'chodesh HaRishon in Chodesh Nisan. Uksiv V'yasu B'nei Yisrael es Pasach B'mayadoi. You're going to do the Pesach B'mayadoi in its right time. Oh, and therefore, just like that pasuk is talking about Rosh Chodesh, so in our pasuk that we quoted before, Chodesh Zelechem, is also on Rosh Chodesh. Rabbi, look at this pasuk. It's the second year. It's the first month of Nisan. But I don't know which day of Nisan we're talking about. So freitim are the same kasha. So I have two psukim that I don't know when they took place. You're trying to be arrive from the second posik to the first posik. Second posik is no better than the first. It doesn't say anywhere in either pasuk that we're talking about Rosh Chodesh. Amram Nachman Yitzchak, you're right. It doesn't say Befeirish, but I have a Gzeirish Shava. Asya Midbar Mi Midbar. Ksiv Acham Midbar Sinai. The pasuk that we just quoted. Vayedaber Hashem Moshe Midbar Sinai. It says Midbar Sinai. Uksiv Hasam. At the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, in the first pasuk of Sefer Bamidbar, it says, "Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe b'Midbar Sinai." Oh, Midbar Sinai, be'oil moed, be'echad la'chodesh hasheni. Oh, now for the first time we have total clarity. Be'echad la'chodesh hasheni. Now this is not Chodesh Nisan. This is Chodesh Iyar. But it's talking about the Echad HaChodesh. Mal Alon B'Rosh Chodesh, just like that, passing in the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, it's talking about Rosh Chodesh, and it says B'Midbar Sinai, Afkan, in the earlier passing. When it says V'Yidaber Hashem Moshe B'Midbar Sinai, that's talking about also B'Rosh Chodesh. Very good. With this we have, you can put two dots over here, because with this we have concluded Reb Shimon Gamliel's Raya. How does Reb Shimon Gamliel have a raya that you're supposed to, that there's this 2 week period of She'alim V'Dorshin before Pesach? He takes it from the fact that Moshe Benu spoke to them on Rosh Chodesh, and he said, don't forget to go and take the Korban before Yom Tov, which is the 14th day, is 14 days. Yeah, how do I know he's speaking Rosh Chodesh? It doesn't say Befeirish, but I learned out Bamidbar Sinai to tell you that it's talking about Rosh Chodesh. Frank Tingamara. This is now no longer related to Reb Shimon Gamliel. Rashi points out this is like a new shtickle gemara. V'nichta bereisha the chodesh rishon v'hadin nichta the chodesh sheni. What the gemara is bothered by now is that the Torah does not seem to be written in chronological order. Why not? Because notice the pasuk which we just quoted now, that in my gemara it's pasuk number six on the side. That's the first. Pasuk in Parshas Bamidbar and in Sefer Bamidbar. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe Bamidbar Sinai bi oil moed bi echad chodesh hasheni, etc. That was the first pasuk in Sefer Bamidbar. And in fact, there are those that don't want to call it Sefer Bamidbar; they call it Sefer Bimidbar because it says Bimidbar Sinai. Fine, I have no problem with that. Call it Bimidbar. But the Maisa, that's the first pasuk. And that first pasuk is talking, when did it occur? Be'echad HaChodesh HaSheni, the first day of Chodesh Iyar. Let's go back to the earlier pasuk. That was pasuk number 5 here in my Gemara. That pasuk is brought in Parshas B'Haloyscha. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe B'Midbar Sinai B'Shana HaSheni B'Chodesh HaRishon. This is Chodesh Nisan. This pasuk is B'Haloyscha. We start off B'Midbar Nosoi Baloyscha. Two parshias later, and it's 1 month earlier. When we start Sefer Bamidbar, we start off talking about Chodesh Iyar, and then two parshias later. And don't forget what happened a month ago in Chodesh Nisan. What's going on? Shouldn't the Torah go chronologically? And therefore, we should have had Parshas Baloyscha, which is talking about the first day of Chodesh Nisan. Shouldn't that appear on the scene in the Torah before the first pasuk in Parshas Bamidbar, which is on Chodesh Rosh Chodesh Iyar? Amrash Batichli from Mishmei Derav, and this is very, very famous, Zaysameris, and this is a conclusive raya, conclusive proof. Ein Moktim Ocha BaTorah. You cannot look to the Torah as being in chronological order. There may be parshas that are out of order chronologically. They all have a wonderful order based on the divine wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything is in the right order, that's for sure. But chronologically, in terms of what happened on the calendar, there could be parshas which are out of order.
So nothing is too early nor too late in the Torah.
Okay, that you can use that statement too.
It's timeless.
Timeless. Oh, the Torah is timeless. Timeless truths. Very good. Thank you, Ed. Amar Papa, lo yamar in that you just said now, in Moktub Chol Torah, don't push that too far. Lo yamar el betray in Yoni. That's talking about two separate parshas. Abachad in Yona, in one parsha, when we say parsha, we don't mean necessarily parshas, but midva parshas, nosai, but we mean every time you find in the Torah that they have the pay, or the samach, which indicates that now you're starting the next line, or at least the next half a line in the Torah. Whenever you get an aliyah, you'll notice that Torah just is not written without spaces. There are spaces between every parsha. And parsha doesn't mean, again, from parshas Bereishis to parshas Noach. It means within the same parsha, you could have 10 or 20 or 30 parshas. Each one it starts on either new line or in the middle of the line, and there's a space in between. So that's what we mean, Trey and Yoni, or two parshas. Al-Bachan and Yona, Maidem Muktem Muktem, Umaidem Uchem Uchem. In the same parsha, that parsha could be 50 or 100 psukim long. Whatever is muktam, whatever comes early in the parsha, that is earlier. Whatever comes later is later. How do I know? Dilei teimachim, because if not, klalu prati, klalu mashim befrat, tilu pratu klalu. Vesu pratu klalu, nasa klalu moisvalu prat, tilu klalu pratu. What is Igmar saying? A very, very simple rule. We know that many of the halachas we learn from a klalu pratu klalu, or klalu prat, pratu klalu. We learn various halachas. These are brought in the Rabbi Shmuel that we say in the morning. These are midisha toidin nidreshes behem. These are certain rules that the Kodesh Baruch Hu has given us, biblical interpretation rules from which Chazal were able to go and derive and infer various halachas. Now, what means a klal uprat? The klal means we start off with a general rule, and then we go and isolate and we say, no, it's not so general. It's a very, really, very, very detailed. Only this case, and therefore, ein b'chal mashem b'frat, and only this case. Now, what happens is the other way around. If I have a prat and I have a klal, then initially I thought prat, it's got to be just this detail, just this one time exclusive. The klal says, no, klal moisef ala prat, and I'm moisef many, many, many more things. And then, of course, if a klal u prat u klal, then it comes to tell you, ein b'chal mashem b'frat, etc. No, not, you know, the klal u prat u klal, it's got to be doimet to the prat. Fine. So what the Gemara is saying is, klal uprat by definition means that the klal comes first and the prat comes second. Now this doesn't have to be in the same pasuk; it can be two separate pasukim. Pasuk one says the klal, pasuk number two says the prat. So ein b'chal mashu b'frat, only the prat and nothing more. Who says that aleph comes before beis? Maybe beis comes before aleph. Maybe you should switch the order of the pasukim because ein muktam uchamat toira. So everything a klal uprat might be a prat or klal, and every prat or klal might be a klal uprat. So then all of these rules would fall away. And therefore is a simon that within one parsha, a parsha that goes from Pasuk Aleph until Pasuk Yud, it's in order. Don't say, no, Pasuk Gimel should come before Pasuk Beis, and Dalit should come before Pasuk Aleph. No, that doesn't exist. In one parsha, it goes in order, and that's why you can have the rules in Klal Prat and Prat. Frank Timori, okay, I feel betrayed in Yoni Nami. I can say the same thing in two separate parshas. When I'm learning a klal uprat, what happens if a klal in the beginning of parshas b'midbar, and then at shlishi in parshas b'midbar, two or three parshas later I have a prat, I'm learning also a klal in b'chlal mashim b'frat, so maybe the third parsha, shlishi in b'midbar, should come before rishon, before koyin in parshas b'midbar. How would I be able to learn that klal uprat? So t'mahoni chalaman yam klal uprat mum rechokim zem mizein don oisai b'chlal uprat shapir. In fact, there's a machloikis. One man the Yoma says, Einachanami, if your klal uprat are so distant that they're in two different parshas, one is in the beginning of the parsha, one's at shlishi, one's at shishi, no, of course you can't learn that klal uprat. It's got to be relatively close together. El man the Yoma donin ma'ikon ma'imer. According to man the Yoma that says that you can learn from pasik aleph to pasik chamishim, the 50th pasik. So what are you going to do then? Everybody agrees that from one parsha to another parsha, you can't learn a klal uprat to klal. The only machlokes is within the same parsha itself. If it's not in the same pasuk, or it's not the same two or three psukim, but rather one is in pasuk aleph and the other is in pasuk chof, we have 20 psukim in between, or 18 psukim in between, 19 psukim. What's the din over there, that's machloikis. One man the yoma says, if it's so meruchik zemizah, you can't learn a kaluprat. The other man the yoma says, you can learn a kaluprat. But since both of them happen to be beparsha achas, and one inyan, everybody agrees, what's muktim is muktim, what's mochar is mochar, and you don't have the taina that maybe it should be in reverse. Okay, Amar Yudah Barav. This is halacha which we mentioned earlier in the shir. Haboidik tzarech shivatel. After the person does bedikas chametz on bedikas chametz night, he takes out the siddur and he says kol chamira v'chamira. The siddur takes out the machzor. He says kol chamira. He has to be mevatel. Pray to my time. But what's the reason why? After all, he did a bedika. He presumably found all of the chametz that was around, and he's taking it and he's going to burn it the next day. So why does he have to be mevatel? In a mission pirurin, maybe a concern that he's going to find that there are small little crumbs here and there and everywhere which he did not locate, and those are going to stay in his property, on his property throughout Yontif, and he's going to be over bal yirah bal yimotzei. If you're talking about pirurin, which are less than a kezayis, really small, that not choshim, and you will not be over on bal yirah bal yimotzei. I know many people are going to say, but isn't the din of Pesach of chometz afilu b'mashu? That's the gabi achila. That's not the gabi b'yiro b'yimotze. So therefore, worst comes to worst, you have a crumb over there, and you have a crumb over there. No, it's a nisht ekvelt. It's not so terrible. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't be careful and meticulous and scrupulous. All erlecha yiddish afroin who go and do their Pesach cleaning, as you know, they're ready from Hanukkah time. They're saying, be careful, don't leave any chametz, because it's soon going to be Pesach. And then the days and weeks before Yontif, they are busy scrubbing and kratzing and doing and everything to go. And I know my wife herself, we have chairs that have beautiful engravings in the wood. She goes and takes pliers, and she's not pliers, but she takes screwdrivers and knives and toothbrushes to go and clean out all the chametz, and then she washes it and wipes it. Oh, there's still another chametz. We start it all over again, and then you turn the chairs upside down in case something got stuck, and then when I have to be boidik, I have to look and make sure there's nothing left. It is very tedious, but very, very wonderful work. L'kovid HaKadosh Baruch Hu, l'kovid the mitzvah. Anyway, so the Gemara is saying is, worst comes to worst, if some pirurin, you don't have to mevatel them, they're batel mevatel anyway, they have no chashivas, they have no real halachic relevance. Maybe you're going to go and tell me, okay, it's taka true that you look upon those crumbs as being gunish mitnisht, but maybe the fact that it happens to be on your property, and your property is protecting you and all of your furniture, all of your possessions, so maybe it's protecting also those pieces of pirur and these crumbs, and maybe that is gives it chashivas, maybe that itself gives it halachic significance. But Tanya, I'll show you that there is no such rule. We have in the Braisa, Soifi Te'enim Umeshamer Sedei Mepnei Anovim. Soifi Anovim Umeshamer Sedei Mepnei Mekshoyis Mepnei Medlois. You have in your field, Soifi Te'enim, says Rashi, means those which are of inferior quality, figs of inferior quality. And the reason why you are watching your field is not because of those inferior Te'enim. The bird should take it away. Ganov should take it away. But I have shoimim around my field because of Anov. I have wonderful grapes which have not ripened yet, so that I cannot go and harvest them. So I have the big gates and I have guards and I make sure nobody should steal. Not because of Sefer Te'enim, it's because of the Anov. Or the other way around. Sefer Anovim, it's already the end of the harvest season for grapes, and they only have some inferior grapes still on the vine. I don't really care about them. But I am careful about my field, but they make choice made midlois. Rashi said, make choice midlois means fields that have in them kishuan udluin, which means gourds, pumpkins, melons, and things of that family. If the balabas really cares about those sofei te'enim and the sofei anovim, the inferior grapes and the inferior figs, asur mishem gezel chiyam ha'mais, don't allow anybody to steal them because he's makbid, and they have a chiyam ha'mais. B'zmanchim balabais makbid aleim. The balabas says, I could care less about the sofei te'enim. Come, take it away. Who needs it? He's not makbid. B'tor mishem gezel, b'tor mishem ha'mais. Anything which is hefker is potem in ha'mais. Anyway, what do I see? That even though these sofei te'enim or the sofei anovim are part of the shmira of this field, it does not give them chashivus, and anybody can take them, no issue, no problem. So the same thing applies to the pirurin. I don't want anybody to go and steal my vitrine or my chandelier or my table, but if he steals these pirurin, gives them to haita, if I should come all the time and steal all the crumbs underneath the table. So, Ibazoi, why do you have to make Bitul. Amar Rav Gzeir Hashem Yimta Gluska Yofa V'day to Ilave. What might happen is that during Yontiv, he's going to look and he's going to find in his drawer, in the one of the shelves in the kitchen, in the back of the freezer, that they forgot to eradicate the gluska. Gluska means like a nice Danish or nice piece of pastry. And I'm sorry,
it says roll.
Roll. We're on a roll. He's going to find a nice roll, something that looks, yofa means it's going to be appetizing, nice and delicious. V'dat ilavei. Now, what's the dat ilavei? Says Rashi. Here, Rashi doesn't say like the Omer Aleph, I'm afraid that he's going to come to eat it. But rather, I'm afraid that he's going to say, that looks good. And I'm going to keep it. And therefore, for at least a second or two or three, until he reconsiders, he's going to be oivin ba yirah bal yein motzei. It's in his rishus. Oy vavoy. Therefore, we said, make bittul before Yontif. So even if he finds it, he'll never be over by Yerah Bali Yematzeh because he was mafkirit. It doesn't belong to me. He nullified it. It doesn't belong to me anymore. Freitimara, why? Why do you have to say Kol Chamir V'Chamir before Yontif? Chimishkach is like, if this were ever to happen, Chas Shom, we assume it never happens, but in case it did happen, he finds a cracker, he finds a roll, he finds a Danish. At that point, Levatlin Mimatlit, right then on the spot, and say Kol Chamir V'Chamir Ram L'Ram. The boss of Isura, maybe he's going to find attack on Yontif or on Cholamoid or even on Erev Yontif after 12 o'clock. And now, V'lab Rishusei Kaima, it's no longer his. And what means it's no longer his? Because Rashi says, because from this point on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is impressed upon it an Isur HaNo'a, and therefore it doesn't belong to him anymore. It's also, you're not allowed to eat it, you're not allowed to have a no from it, you can go and sell it, and therefore it's not his Rishus anymore. V'leimotzi Mavatel, and now it's too late to go and be Mavatel it. Where do we find this concept that it's not in his Rishus? But he's chayiv. The two things which are physically not within his rishus, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you are responsible. The Eilein, bar b'shus rab. If I go make a bar b'shus rab, it's not my property. What are you talking to me right now? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's your property. You better go and seal up this bar forever that Chas V'Shalom shouldn't cause any damage. And take the chometz m'shei shos alamala. That after 12 o'clock on Erev Yontif, even though it's Osir Banoah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, but you are responsible. And therefore, that's why, at this point, you can no longer be mevatelit, because it doesn't belong to you, but you have halakhic obligations and responsibilities, which you cannot rid yourself at that point. You can say Kol Chamir 100 times, it doesn't belong to you anymore. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, for purposes of the Isser, it does belong. So there's a bit of a hybrid situation. On the one hand, it doesn't belong to you, so you can't be mevatelit. But on the other hand, it does belong to you, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Kirishusai, and now you're stuck with an Isser of Bayiro Bayimatze. That's another 2-3 lines. V'nevatli be'arab, v'nevatli be'chamish. Fine. I agree with you, we should make a bittul before Yontav, we shouldn't have these issues. Why does he have to do it at Bdikas Chometz night? Let him go and do it b'arba or b'chomish, meaning on Erev Pesach, we eat the Chometz until 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. So at that point, let him go b'mevatlen, when he finishes eating up his roll, his Cheerios, or whatever he's eating that morning, after he benches, after he says alamukya, whatever, let him go and say kol chamir v'chamiyo. You don't say it then, you do it at Zman Bir, the time of Bir. Your Gemara is going to ask that question in a moment. Kim in the Lab Zman Isuru, since that's not the Zman Isur yet, because the Isur Min HaToyra doesn't start yet. V'lam Zman Biuruhu, that's also not the Zman Bir, because I still have to go and burn it. Dilma Posh V'lim Abatale, maybe he's going to go be Poshe, he's going to go and forget, and he's going to forget to say the Kol Chamir. So rather, I do it at the time of Bedikas Chometz, because then he's busy with the Chometz. When you're busy with it, you have your feather, and you have your 10 pieces, and you're holding the spoon and the candle. When you're done, don't think you're finished. Go and say this last filler of the Kol Chamir V'Chamir. Pray to Mavatli B'Shis. Why don't you go Mavatli it at the time that you're getting ready to burn it on Erev Pesach? Because then you're certainly busy with it, right? You're holding your chametz in your hand, and you're looking, where can I go and burn it? Here, there, or everywhere. So Rabbanan Ilavei, at that point, it's already Isamid Rabbanan to go and eat from it, and to have it in your rishus. Kidiraisa Damya, so then it's just like the Diraisa that we spoke about before, that V'lab Rishus Ekaim, it's no longer in his rishus. Midrabbanan! It's too late in Mavatl. What happens if a person wants to go and marry someone on Erev Pesach? Can you imagine? Erev Pesach is not busy enough. He's going and making a chasana and Erev Pesach in the afternoon. Even if he's handing over, instead of giving a ring, he's being extremely romantic, and he gives his kala chita kordanaisa. Kordanaisa means from Kurdistan, right? A Kurdin chitim. What's so special about them, says Rashi, that they happen to be very, very hard. Nevertheless, ain choshen the kedushin. The kedushin is not chal. Why is the kedushin not chal, says Rashi? Because I'm afraid it might have become chametz, and therefore there's an iser hanoa on that chametz, and the kedushin is not chal at all. Rashi asks, what are you telling me? After all, Kedushin is min ha-Torah, the Isser Chometz is only Drabanan. How can the Isser Chometz Drabanan? Because remember, we're not talking about it's awesome min ha-Torah yet. We're talking about that it's almost, Mekadosh B'Shei Shoyis means that it's still, Rashi says, in the sixth hour, Mitchila Sheish, which is only Isser Drabanan. How can the Isser Drabanan uproot the Kedushin the Oiraisa? Says Rashi, two terutzim. Number one, called the Mekadish, Adayt Rabbanan Mekadish. Every time a chosim puts the ring on the kala's hand, he says, Hariat Mekudesh Esli Betabazu Kidas Moshe, the Torah, the Yisrael, and the Rabban. If the Rabbanan say this Kedushin is not Chal, the Kedushin is not Chal. Now the reason Rashi says, Hefker Besn Hefker, and they were Mafker, his Mamain, starting from the time of the Isser Chometz. Anyway, so that's the reason why we say Kol Chamira, on the night after we finish the Bedikas Chametz. So based on our Gemara, we should not say, or there's no need to say, Kol Chamira V'Chamira at the time of the burning of the Chametz. True! But the Rosh in back of the Gemara says, nevertheless, one should say a second Kol Chamira V'Chamira. Why should we say Kol Chamira V'Chamira? Because the one that we say the night before excludes any chometz which I'm leaving over specifically to go and eat in the morning for breakfast. You'll notice that the nusach, the text, is a little bit different, the one from the night before than the one of the day. And therefore, if you in fact eat up everything that you left over the night before, then you have no chometz left. But what happens, like in many households, that you leave over all the chometz which is still left, and there's no way that anybody and everybody can eat it up unless you bring in an army of children to eat it all up. It's just a whole box of Cheerios and three more rolls left and two more this and two more that. So what happens now? So you make the Kol Chamira, whatever's left over, and that's brought lahalach in Shulchan Aruch, and of course that is the custom in all Jewish homes that we say Kol Chamira twice, once the night before, and once in the morning at the time of the Bir Chometz. Have a wonderful Shabbos and Bo Yisai.